From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Andrea Seabrook. We'll start today with the man the FBI believes carried out the anthrax attack 7 years ago. Dr. Bruce Ivins had a history of serious mental health problems. That, according to his therapist, he committed suicide earlier this week. The government was about to charge him with killing 5 people through anthrax-tainted letters in 2001. His counselor said in court documents that Ivins had a history of homicidal threats going back to his time in graduate school. So how did someone with that history get a security clearance? Here's NPR's Ari Shapiro.
More than 30 years ago, Dr. Bruce Ivins was hired to study anthrax vaccines at the Army's Institute of Infectious Diseases in Fort Detrick, Maryland. David Danley used to work with Ivins and other scientists there. He says the place was wide open back then.
There were no locks on the doors, and you could pretty much wander the building without a lot of interference.
It was an academic place where researchers happened to be studying deadly material. It wasn't until 1997 that the Centers for Disease Control established what they called a select agent program to regulate toxins that have the potential to pose a severe threat to public health and safety. Dave Franz was the commander of the research center back then.
There was a requirement to register the laboratory, not the individual.
And labs only had to register if they wanted to transfer something like anthrax from one facility to another. Labs keeping the material in one place didn't have to register at all. As for people studying the disease, Franz says,
they didn't need the clearances at that time in order to work with the agents.
Some people had clearances to access sensitive intelligence, but in general, the country was more concerned with protecting secret information than dangerous material. David Danley said things only changed at the lab after 5 people died from anthrax-laced letters in 2001.
That's when locks went on doors, armed guards, and the whole 9 yards.
After that, everyone needed security clearances. By that point, Bruce Ivins had been working at the lab for decades. Even then, a background check apparently failed to catch what his therapist has called a history dating to his graduate days of homicidal threats, actions, and plans. Everyone who gets a security clearance has to fill out the same form. It's called an SF-86. You can see one at npr.org. The form asks whether you've ever been treated for a mental illness, and it requires you to let investigators view your private medical records. Michael Woods used to be chief of national security law at the FBI.
I don't believe that reviewing a person's medical record is a part of a typical security investigation unless there is some indication that there's a concern there.
Woods says investigators only find what they look for, and what they look for depends on what you report about yourself and what others say about you.
Any system will miss someone somewhere. And then, you know, the alternative here is to have a much higher level of scrutiny for everybody in the system. I don't particularly want investigators going through my medical records if there's not a real reason, a security-related reason to do that.
Security investigations can already take as long as 18 months. Reviewing everyone's medical records would make it take even longer. And Wood says there's no good way to overcome the human factor either. People generally don't want to volunteer damning information about themselves or about others. The result, Woods says, is a system that will always have flaws. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.